Our friends, the Bombers, came up last evening from Marietta. Brother Jeff is a pastor down there. And he had finished his sermon for this Sunday on Thursday. He had it all typed into his computer. And then they lost their electric Friday night. And his sermon's on his computer, and he's got to print it out. So he had to find somewhere he could go. So they came up last night and came here to the church, and for a small fee, I saved his hide, and he got to print out his sermon for this morning. That also meant I didn't have to study because I kept a copy of it. But he is down at his church this morning, and I'm curious to find out how they do, because they don't have electric. They're having church. They don't have electric. Now, they've got more windows in their church. If we didn't, I don't know what would happen if we didn't have electric. We've got a light issue with no windows in here. Then it's all during the week without the air on, it's warm in here. In fact, we've got the default set at 80 degrees, so it keeps it that low. And I know this week the air conditioning was running just to keep it down to 80 degrees. So you can imagine if we didn't have electricity, it would be over 80 degrees in here, and I'm not sure how that it feels that warm up here right now. Of course, I've got a little safeguard up here, you might notice. My wife found a nice little cheap little fan right here blowing on me, so I'm set for about 3 or 4 hours up here now. I don't have any problem. We're thankful that the Lord spared us. Of course, we had our air conditioning fried a while ago, so we deserved a break this time. I'm not preaching Brother Balmer's message. It was on Joshua chapter 3. I'll save it for later. It's on my computer back there. We're going to look this morning at Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 12, a phrase that I know you're familiar with. And as we think about the 4th of July coming up this Wednesday, and we celebrate it today on Sunday, Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12 says this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Now, it's obvious by the last half of that verse that the context of this verse is talking about the nation of Israel, the people that he had chosen for his own inheritance. And yet we're not guilty of stealing their promise by claiming the first half of that verse. We cannot claim to be the people of God's inheritance. Now, as New Testament Christians, we can apply that. But as a nation, we can't claim that. God's nation is still the nation of Israel. But at the same time, the first half of that verse is a universal truth. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. And we're going to look at that part of verse number 12 here this morning. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we are thankful this morning that we have this place to meet in, that you've protected us over the weekend. We do pray, God, for those that need their power restored, their buildings replaced, Father, roofs put back on, that, Father, in a speedy fashion, you'd help all these things to be addressed and taken care of. We thank you for all that are here this morning as we celebrate together, Father, the birth of our nation many years ago. We pray you bless your word to each and every heart. Father, God, when we get to the realms of politics, Father, we need to remind ourselves to stick with the word of God. Stick with the Bible. So I pray you give me direction, give me guidance as I've prepared my thoughts here this morning. And Father, help us to follow this, the guidance of your Spirit. Help us, Father, get those things from your word this morning. It would be beneficial to us spiritually. We are thankful for the nation we live in. We're thankful, God, for the freedoms that we have. Father, we know some things are being eroded around us. Yet, God, this is still the country that people want to come to, and the country that people are not trying to leave. And we're thankful, Father, that we have this nation right now. We pray for its future. We pray for its direction. God, that you'd give us revival. It's the only thing that's going to help. And Father, help us to put our eyes in the right place, to put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, put them on you. Bless your word each and every heart tonight. Father, should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, God, we pray that he would be exalted and lifted up. And Father, the message that's given this morning would remind us that everything we have and everything we are come from you. Father, if there's someone here that's not entrusted their soul's keeping to you, I pray, Father, you make it clear to them today and help them today to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless your word. Bless our worship of you together. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12. Blessed is that nation, or blessed is the nation, whose God is the Lord. 236 years ago, 56 men signed their names to a piece of paper declaring our independence, their independence, and forming a new nation. Now, hopefully you know history well enough to know that after the signing of that paper, there were many, many years that went past, and a great war fought before that nation really came into existence. But we celebrate on the 4th of July the signing of that Declaration of Independence, that declaration of liberty and freedom from our father country or mother country, England. And what has happened since, in these 236 years since then, has been the development and the existence of arguably the greatest nation the world has ever seen. When it comes to inventions, America leads the world. When it comes to technology, tell me about the Japanese and the Chinese. They've just got the technology they got from us. Everything that's been advanced in science and in energy and environment, in space, has all been done from someone whose roots have come from the United States of America. There is no doubt in my mind, and shouldn't be in anyone's mind, that our heritage as a nation has led to the blessing not only of our 50 states, but to the blessing of the rest of the world. From this country has gone out to the rest of the world advancements in technology, in science, in medicine. And everyone has benefited from the founding of the United States of America. It was founded on freedom and liberty. And these two things are still the example to all countries around the world. When people talk about freedom and religious liberty, they think of the United States of America. That's our reputation in the world today. Go to France, it's atheistic. Go to Germany, it's rationalistic. Go to Mexico and the Catholicism, or Spain and some of those countries, and you don't have the freedom and the liberty that we have in the United States of America. We know the reason we have that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But can I remind you today, as we think about all the problems that America has, and I'm not ignorant of them, and we know, and Brother Gary and Judy sang in that song, you know, about prayer in public schools and carrying Bibles, and we'll mention a little bit of that. But can I say at the same time, there's no other country you'd rather be in right now? There's no other place you'd rather be living right now than right here, with all its problems, with all its ills, with all its difficulties, and no place is perfect, but yet it's still the best place to be. And so we thank God for what God has done here. It's always difficult for a preacher to make a sermon. I told Brother John this week, and I shouldn't use the word hate, I know that, but I'm not a big fan of Mother's Day sermons and Father's Day sermons and Easter Day sermons and Christmas Day sermons. I'm not a fan of being dictated to about what I got to preach on those times. And yet at the same time, it's an excellent opportunity to speak on what is going on at that time. And really, this is one of the most difficult of the whole year to base a sermon on, is the 4th of July and all of it, because we know where we came from. We know where we're at. We're fearful of where we're going. And when we want to celebrate the 4th of July, it's so easy for a preacher to pour all the negative stuff on. And by the time you go out, you almost wish there wasn't a 4th of July. And so I don't want to do that. I want to preach an uplifting sermon. And yet at the same time, it's just like the gospel. The gospel too is two-thirds negative. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection. And you can't ignore the negative and that just emphasize the positive, or you don't have the whole balanced truth. We use the example of your car battery or any battery. You've got to have a negative and a positive to make it work together. And so we can preach the uplifting sermon. We can preach on the love of God and going to heaven when we die and salvation and regeneration and the new birth. But we also have to talk about sin. We've got to talk about hell. We've got to talk about judgment. And so when it comes to America, I want to preach on those things, but I'm aware that America has her struggles. And we struggle with political issues. All I have to do is say some words, and I won't even have to say any more. The economy. All right, you hear about it every day. Every newscast, every newspaper article, every special is all about the economy. Gas prices, how about that? You know, the only thing good about election year every 4 years is the gas prices go down right now. Every 4 years, they're the lowest they've been now since 4 years ago before the last election. And so I guess we should look forward to election year just so the gas prices will go down. But all I have to do is say gas prices, and we think about what's gone on over the last 4 years and the 4 years previous, and we realize that America is struggling with political issues. And I don't want to get into the political end of it, but, you know, it just doesn't make sense that all that oil over there, you know, we're using all that oil over here when we could have it over here where we're at, and how the price jumps. You know, if the price goes up over there, it goes up right here today, but they bought this oil years ago, and you know, we won't get into all that stuff. All I got to do is say gas prices, and we say, all right, we've got some trouble. All I have to do is say immigration. And if you watch the news and keep up, you know with all the troubles that are going on. You can be for Arizona or against Arizona. You can be for immigration or against immigration. Any way it goes, I don't know how it is, but you say that word, and that's an issue, a problem that America is facing today. And I'll say this one, and then I'll duck behind the pulpit. Healthcare. The Supreme Court just made their ruling. Most of us are not real happy and thrilled with it. And healthcare is an issue. And it's an issue that America is facing, and the future of our healthcare and the quality of our healthcare and all these kind of things. These are issues that America is struggling with and will determine to a great extent our future generations. And so we acknowledge that America is not without problems on the political scene. America has some issues that they struggle with religiously. Again, these are not new things, and I'm just telling you stuff I know you already know, but all you have to do is watch television and find out anytime any Christian is portrayed, he's usually a lunatic, he's a nutcase, and he's got issues. And yet then at the same time we're told that Islam is a religion of peace, though all the evidence has led completely in an opposite direction from that. Christians are portrayed as being violent. Islam is supposed to be peaceful. And Americans are confused and don't know which way's up. We're getting rid of the Bible, getting rid of the Ten Commandments, not saying prayers at inaugurations or this thing or that thing. Folks, that's not where we came from. And that's not where we need to go. So we've got political issues. We've got religious issues. And here's the more important ones. We've got morality issues. We still live in a nation where people are going in and having abortion on demand. Now, we're not going to argue the thing about the mother's life in danger and all that kind of stuff. I heard a number, and I wish I remember, but I just heard a number last week. Since 1973, the percentage of abortions, and it was ridiculously high, that were for convenience. They have documented that over the years, that were not for the mother's life in danger, not rape or incest or all the other excuses they give, and we're not covering that right now, but saying convenience, that the mother said, I don't want this baby. That the majority of abortions that are funded with our taxpayer money are for that very issue. That puts America in trouble. And so we realize that morality, pornography. I mean, you can go into Circle K in Byesville, and you've got to wear blinders on your eyes because it's put out there where everybody can see it. You go into grocery stores, you go in anywhere. And what used to be called pornography now is called, you know, a Sears catalog. Or JCPenney catalog, or any other magazine. And we've just denigrated. We've gone so far downhill that our morality in America is greatly, greatly destroyed, and our younger generations are being raised without a sense of morality. America has some issues we need to address. Homosexuality. That is a problem that's getting bigger and bigger every single day. I was telling someone yesterday, I think it was Brother Gary, we were talking yesterday, and while we were in Toledo last week, Brother Mark Rogers was preaching, and he preached a political sermon, basically, is what you call it. It was good. It was Bible. But it was about America and the kind of things we're talking about. And he mentioned that he'd been preaching recently up in Canada. And while he was up there, he preached on homosexuality. He preached, by the way, against homosexuality. When I say he preached on it, you know what I mean. He preached against man, woman, you know, homosexual, lesbian relationships and all that. And the preacher of the Baptist church came to him afterward and he said, now, Brother Rogers, he said, you do realize you're not in America, you're in Canada. And we have laws here that if you preach on homosexuality like that, you can be fined or you can be thrown into jail for 30 days. And he said, you know, did you realize that before you spoke that? And he said, well, he said, no, I guess I didn't realize it. He said, what do you do when you get to those verses in the Bible? And he said, well, I preach them anyways. He said, I just wanted you to be aware that if you're preaching it, they might come and put you in jail. And the day is coming in the United States of America where the same thing might happen here. where they're going to regulate what someone can say from the pulpit and tell you what things are acceptable and what things are not acceptable. And can I tell you this? When that day comes, I'm not going to purposely preach my next sermon on that subject or topic. But when it comes up in the Word of God, I'm sure not going to avoid it. I'm not going to skip over it and say, the government says I can't talk about that. Those are issues that our country is dealing with religiously and in morality. And America has some issues. And then we've got the social issues. Have we not filled our cup yet? The political issues, the religious issues, the morality issue. We've got social issues. Alcoholism is a terrible problem in our country. Fighting and violence due to alcohol consumption is unbelievable. And it's an unbelievable thing that it's still legal. The only excuse you can give is the love of money is the root of all evil. Because alcohol consumption doesn't profit anybody, doesn't benefit anybody personally. It doesn't take away their troubles. Once they're done drinking, the troubles are still there. And usually they've wasted some profitable time by spending it drinking and to try to cover up those problems. I'm going to say this from the pulpit, and you can be offended, you can write down. If you drink one drink, you're a fool. And the preacher said it. You drink one drink, you're a fool. You have wasted that much of your life right there. You have taken in that much of something that doesn't belong chemically in your body. You'll never find studies on this, and they'll never put it in the papers, but doctors have proven that even one drink of alcohol, the stuff that's in there, is not intended to be absorbed in the body. You've heard of sclerosis of the liver. Well, that's just an extreme case. They have said our bodies are not made to consume or to burn off alcohol. It doesn't belong in our bodies. And if you put it in, you're a fool. And we have a problem with alcohol in our country, especially Christians that say, well, if it's socially acceptable. You know, if you're in a group and they're doing it, well, if they're cussing, are you going to cuss? They're stripping. I don't mean to be gross, but you understand? We don't do it because other people are doing it. And there's no excuse for that. We have some social issues. Gambling is a problem in our country. I told you a little while ago about Sonia and I going up to Walmart and we saw an internet cafe. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. Bysville, Cambridge now has an internet cafe. You can go in and get on the internet and drink your coffee and sit around and relax. And then we walked in. And I wasn't dressed like this. I wasn't dressed in a shirt and tie, but I was dressed as I normally dress, which made me about 10 times more dressed up than anybody that was in there. Which is just society today. And that's a different pet peeve. But I walked in there, and the guy recognized us, the way we were dressed. He knew we were strangers to that place just by our appearance. And he immediately came over and said, oh, can I help you? And we said, and we're looking around thinking, this isn't what I thought it was. You know, all these computers are all over the place, and these elderly couples are all sitting there with cards, putting these cards in and playing games on it. And I thought, this is not what I thought it was. And the big Starbucks, you know, is what brought Sonia into the place. The big Starbucks false advertisement on the front window. You know, I said, Starbucks, and we went in. He said, yeah, we've got some, you know, Starbucks there. Just mix it in with that other stuff, and you can have a Starbucks coffee. And so we walk in, and all it is a gambling hall under another name, and they're springing up all over the place. And senior citizens are wasting their what little Social Security they get now. They're going in there hoping to improve it and duplicate it and all that. Maybe that's why everybody's dressed the way they're dressed. It's all they can afford. I don't know. But gambling is a problem. Up in Toledo, we were with Brother Sal. They just put a new casino in Toledo, Ohio, right down from the church, not too far away. The lottery has become an epidemic. You go into Circle K or places like that, it frustrates me every time. I just want to get something to drink or a little snack, and I got to wait in line between times. So give me six of the $5 ones of that and five of the $10 ones of that, and I'm looking at them and thinking, you know, I don't know where they get this money, but I have a sneaking suspicion it's not from their day job. It's not from their occupation. You know, they get the food stamps to buy the food so they can save their money. I'm really getting off base now, aren't I? America has some troubles. We've got some problems. And America has a problem with illegal drugs. You don't need to be told that, and it's not in the high schools anymore. And from what I've heard, it's not in the junior highs. It's in the elementary schools. That at the fourth, fifth grade, and sixth grade level, kids are getting introduced to drugs, and people are making money on it. And though we make a surface attack against it, and talk about the cartels, and talk about this and that, it's basically to a big degree we turn a blind eye to it, and it's destroying our generations and our people. I'm sure you saw in the paper the two murders that took place at Coventry Estates, I believe it was, and they don't know, but they suspect that it was drug related. In a town like Cambridge, where you don't see things like that very often, it's not strange, it's not surprising, it's drug-related. America has a lot of problems. We have social ills, political ills, we've got religious ills. We've got a lot of problems. But in spite of that, and there, I got all that out, didn't I? That's all that negative stuff I said I wasn't going to talk about this morning. We have those problems. Why haven't we gone under? And I'm not talking about the judgment of God. We'll talk about that later. Why is it, with what I just talked about, the description I gave, why aren't we already under? Because the picture I just painted of all those, just those things, maybe what, a dozen things that I mentioned, ought to be enough to take any country down, to destroy any society. And yet we've got all those different issues, and here we are on a Sunday morning, driving our own vehicles, filling our own gas tanks, stopping at restaurants, dressing ourselves, shopping, running around and doing things in a country that most of the rest of the world doesn't have the opportunity to do. And yet we've got all those problems that sometimes other nations look and say, your country does what? When you talk about homosexuality or abortion in some third world countries, they're appalled. Who in a civilized world would do something like that? And yet here we are with the freedoms and the liberties we still have. How do you explain that with all the problems we've got? Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. You know what we're doing, folks? We're living on our foundation. America as a nation right now is benefiting on our past. 236 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Many more years since the Pilgrims and Puritans first came to this country. Doing what? Looking for, and can you fill in the blank, or are you today's educated person? Looking for religious freedom. No matter how they rewrite the books, no matter what they do, the Pilgrims and the Puritans left England and sailed over here looking for the right to worship God according to the dictates of their own heart. Now, our children are not being taught that in the public school system. I understand that. And the college textbooks are not introducing that to them. In fact, you're hard-pressed to find a history textbook that'll give you accurate American history because it's all been revised according to today's modern-day thinking. But those early forefathers came to this country looking to establish a place where they could worship God. Whether they were Protestant, whether they were Puritans, Church of England, it didn't matter. They came here looking for religious freedom. And that was the foundation of this nation. And that's the reason we're blessed today. We're living off of that borrowed time. With all of our ills and all of our problems today, we're still benefiting that God hasn't given up on us yet and turned us over. You don't have to look very far to realize that America's heritage is based on the Bible. I'm not going to sit up here. I could have brought up a book and I could have read you quote after quote after quote after quote by founding fathers and how they mentioned God, how they mentioned the Bible, how they mentioned scriptures, how they mentioned providence. I could give you all that, and you know that's out there, and everybody else knows it's out there too. They just choose to ignore it. But you know that the foundation of our nation is based on people that knew their Bible, and most of them knew God. Out of those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, there's a 24, 27, or 29. Pick one of those numbers. 24, 27, or 29 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees. Let's take the smallest number. The reason I give you three numbers is because when you research it, you hit different numbers all the time. But the lowest, 24 out of 56, almost half of the signers of the Declaration of Independence had seminary degrees. And their sessions began with prayer. At one time, they prayed for 3 hours before they debated and tried to figure it out. Men that weren't Christians like Benjamin Franklin stood up and said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain." He's quoting Bible. He's not even a Christian. Our country was saturated with the Word of God. It was saturated with the Bible. All you have to do is travel to Washington, D.C. And just, it's beyond my imagination that people don't get this. And I'm not talking about these people. I'm talking about the secularists that are out there. You go to the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Monument, the Supreme Court building. Everywhere you go in Washington, D.C., and you see Bible verses inscribed in buildings and the Ten Commandments and Moses and all this stuff. It shows our heritage, where we came from. And it's sustaining us till this day. It's holding us up to where we're at right now. That is what's making America what it is, even at this dark and late hour. The preamble to your state constitution, our state constitution, Ohio's state constitution. See, I said yours and then I changed that to ours. The preamble to our state constitution says this: We, the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. The state constitution for another state, one up north, it says this: We, the people of Michigan, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of freedom. Did you notice something in both of those state constitutions? Almighty God. Can I tell you this morning, those, not those words, but God is mentioned in all 50 of the state constitutions, including Alaska and Hawaii, the last two to join. Which was, 1950, so that's not that long ago. And even at that time, every state constitution mentions God in it. How can that be? In the day in we live, how could that possibly be? Because America had a foundation in God. And we didn't have the anti-God police running around trying to erase his name from every building and every written document and every piece of paper. Now they're going down trying to purge God from everything. But the reason we exist today and have what we have today is we're living off the investment we made before. We were founded on the Word of God. Say, well, America wasn't a Christian nation. You know, that's semantics. That's real semantics. Nobody came over here and said, we're going to build a Christian nation. But they came over here looking to worship the God of the Bible. They came here looking for the liberties they had to worship God. And there are some in Pennsylvania when the Quakers went in there that said, we're going to build a city on a hill that cannot be hid. You know where they got that phrase? They got it from the Bible. And the Bible was ingrained in everybody that came over here. It's interesting, and I'll just throw this out for food for thought. You know, the Mississippi River divides America in half. We've got the East and the West, and the Mississippi is really the one. You know, you study, you know, the original 13 colonies and the movement into Ohio and into Michigan, into Kentucky and across to Illinois and all that. And then the Mississippi really was the great divider, because once they got there, they're pretty well stuck back in that day. You just didn't, you know, call the city engineers and have them build a bridge to get across the Mississippi. And Pastor DeMichael, the pastor's out there in the West, out in Idaho. He said, the people out here are completely different than the people back in the East. He said, back in the East, your heritage is people that came from England for religious freedom. And so you have a religious heritage back in the East, and he's right. He said, but over here in the West, you know what our people are? They're the ones that fled the law in the East. They're the fugitives that came running to the West to get away from everything over there. Or they're the panhandlers and the gold diggers that came out here looking for a fortune. He said, we've got a whole different group of people out here than you have back in the East. America's heritage in the part of the country we're from came from England. And even those on the West side, you know, can see the movement of God coming. Of course, everything in the Bible went east to west. And so the gospel went that way into the United States and then went across to the West. And now there's some great churches in places like California and Arizona and places that you wouldn't normally imagine they're there. America has been blessed because of our foundation. You can't sanely dispute the Christian foundation of this nation. It has made us what we are today, and we're living off of our heritage. Look, if you would, in Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. Verse Verse number 3. Here's the problem we face today, folks. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have a good foundation. We have a strong foundation. We were founded on the Word of God. We were founded on belief in God. We were founded on the God of the Bible. And if those foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And you know what the answer to that is? The way it's worded in the Bible? Nothing. If those foundations be destroyed, we're without hope. If that foundation of God is ignored and gone away from, there's nothing we can do. Look back, if you would, at Psalm chapter 33. Let's see this clearly in verse number 12. As we've talked about our foundation and our heritage and what's kept America at liberty and free for all these years, notice what it says in verse number 12. Blessed is that nation whose God is, not was. Is, not was. Not blessed is that nation whose God was the Lord. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. We can't live off of what America was. We've got to focus on what America is. And the problem, though there are many that I listed already, the problem we've got to look at, those other band-aids that we need to put things on and fix, I understand. But you can put band-aids on things and still die. Because you've got to go back to the root. You've got to get down in deep and find the foundation of the problem. And our foundation is we've deserted God. We've left Him. We are now a teetering nation. We were founded on God, and right now we're trying to decide which way we're really going to go. The political climate, the social climate today is telling us that we can't live off the past. We've got to be a nation for God right now. We are still the land of the free and the home of the brave. I have been in 8 different countries outside of the United States of America, and this is the one I want to live in. When our servicemen and even missionaries come back from overseas, they still fall down and kiss the ground when they get here. Robert spent some time in Somalia and Horn of Africa and over in Iraq, and he said when they got back into Camp Lejeune down in North Carolina, he fell down on the ground and he kissed the ground when he got back here. You know why we have an immigration problem? Because Mexicans are just like you. They want to get out of that country and get to this one. Now, I'm not saying what we need to do and how we handle it. I'm just explaining. You don't see a lot of people down in Texas and California trying to get into Mexico. There's not a lot of us, now that since the Jimmy Carter days, not a lot of us are trying to get into Canada. But those people are still trying to get in here from all around the world. I went to the VA last Tuesday, and I talked to a doctor who's from Saudi Arabia. He spent some time over in Africa, and we got to talk about Africa a little bit. From there, he went to Louisville, Kentucky. What a place to go. From Africa to Louisville, Kentucky, the Southern Baptist Seminary is where he worked down there. And now he's up here at Chillicothe at the VA. You know what he said? I'm staying here. He's not a Muslim, by the way, which you'd think he was. He's not religious at all. But he says, I'm staying here. He said, I thought when I went to Africa, I'd like to go around the world, see places. He said, but now I'm in America, I'm staying right here. We see all the Indian doctors and the national doctors. They're coming here. Our American doctors are not going over there. You understand? This is still the place to be. With all the ills and with all the problems, this is still the place to be. So we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for everything that we've got here. Yes, it's scary. The political issues, the social issues, the morality issues, they're scary. And yet, isn't God in charge of everything? Doesn't He raise up and set down? And you know what you've noticed in the last 4 years? Christians have been woken up. Christians have come to realize our hope is not in politics. We need to look a little bit higher than that. And the problem is, when we get our guy in the White House, then we all sit back and say, okay, everything's fine now. And we stop praying. And we stop worrying. And we stop complaining. And we stop whatever it is we're doing. And maybe it's just the fact, and this is scary to think about,
I mean, it's scary. Maybe God just gives us the same kind of leadership for four more years for Christians to stay awake and realize that if somebody fixes the morality problems and the political problems and the economic problems, that doesn't bring America back to God. And those are our issues. Those are our problems. The liberal left, they want to destroy America. We know that. We know they're undermining everything America has always stood for. And they're promoting all the things that will destroy us as a nation. That's the liberal left. Then we got some of the kooks over on the right. And they want God to destroy us. Oh, you know, if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he'll have to destroy America. What are you, insane? You're hoping for this? I got news for you. When that storm hit the other day, it didn't separate the lost from the saved. When that storm came through the other night, it didn't miss houses of people that go to church and hit houses of people. And if God's judgment ever comes, it's not just going to hit the unbelievers. It's going to hit everybody. You're going to be in food lines. You're going to be in gas lines. You're going to be suffering. You're going to be suffering the judgment. If God judges America, he doesn't give a pass to believers. And I run into these folks who say, oh, well, God's going to, bless God, he's going to judge America. And they make it sound like they want him to, because they think somehow we're going to get out of it unscathed. No, we're going to miss the tribulation. I understand that. But if God's judgment falls on America before the tribulation, we don't get by it. And if there's anything you've seen the last couple days, it's scary how teetering our system is. I heard somebody saying, you hear all these things. That's why you don't like to repeat a lot. But somebody said, with all these people driving up to the gas stations and restaurants, by the end of this week, Cambridge is going to be out of food. Now I just caused a panic. You're all going to be rushing out of the stores as soon as you get out here, buying up everything out there. But say, and realistically, wouldn't that make sense? All the cars you've seen at the restaurants and everything this week that aren't normally here, they're all coming up from Marietta and Clarksburg and all that kind of stuff coming up here, and they're buying everything out. And what if? You say, well, the people of Bible Baptist Church, God would just rain down manna from heaven and fill their refrigerators. I appreciate your faith. But if God's judgment falls, it doesn't work that way. America is at a teetering place. We're on a slope that we've got to watch. And what will determine our future? What will determine the direction that we go? I want you to turn to a verse that I know most of you can memorize and quote. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. What's going to help us? What's going to help us? God. The only one that can. God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. And God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. You know what's going to turn America around? One thing. God. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do it. Others can put band-aids on the social issues. They can put band-aids on religious issues. They can put band-aids on the economy. They can try to fix these things. But America's problems are deeper than that. And there is no man on the scene that can fix those problems. It's going to have to be God. And God shows his relationship with us in verse number 14 by saying, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. If America's going to have revival, it's not going to come from Washington, D.C. It's not going to come from politicians. And I think you know it's not going to come from the news media. In fact, if God's going to send revival, he's going to have to do it in spite of any of those people. Because he's God. And the only way he's going to send revival is if his people humble themselves and pray. Now, I'm not saying, be politically active. Vote in November for the least wicked of the two candidates. But talk to God. Pray to God that He'll save America, because only He can do it. We have a wonderful country. We have a country to be proud of. You go anywhere else in this world, when I'm in Africa, I'm proud to be from America. When I was out in New Caledonia and saw the way they live and the things, and flew into the airport, and when we flew there in 1985, flew in the airport, there were armed guards with M16s everywhere around. I was proud to be an American. And America is what it is because of what God's done and because how they've been to God. You know, and Brother John said this, he was preaching a month or so ago, and I understand where he's coming from. He said something about he has trouble saying God bless America. Well, the opposite is Jeremiah Wright. And nobody wants to be a Jeremiah Wright. If you don't know who that is, that was the president's pastor who said, God damn America. Ask God to damn America. Now, anybody like that ought to be run out of the country, tarred and feathered. Alec Baldwin, that Hollywood actor that when George Bush won the second time, he said, if he wins, I'm moving to Russia. And he hadn't done anything since Hunt for Red October that was worth doing anything. Anyways, I wish he'd have moved to Russia, but he didn't fulfill his promise. This is still the place to be. With all the ills and all the difficulties, this is still the place to be. But at the same time, we need to push it in the right direction. And the way we're going to push it is on our knees. The way we're going to push it is by pleading out to God. If you've ever talked to a liberal, if you ever talk to homosexuals, if you ever talk to the people on the other side, you go around this, they're in Byesville, and you go around knocking on the door, and they want to make an issue of their sexual preference, you say, hey, I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will forgive your sins and save your soul. Well, what about my lifestyle? Well, Jesus Christ can save it. They want to make an issue about it. They want to fight and argue over it, and you have a hard time getting through to them because we're not going to win those arguments with those kind of people. We need to fall down on our knees before God and say, God, save America. God, give us revival. God, stir the hearts of your people, because that's where it's going to begin. Blessed is that nation whose God not was and not will be. But blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. I hope you're saved this morning. Because if you're not saved, you're part of America's problem. And I say that, that rolls off the tongue pretty easy. If you're not saved, you're part of America's problem. Because you can't think right. You can't understand the Bible. You don't know God. You can't know what God's for and what God's against. And America's future, if it's based on God, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. If God's not your Lord, you're not part of the fix. And not only are you a detriment to America, but you're a detriment to yourself. Because Jesus Christ died to rescue you and save you from hell. He gave himself so you won't have to go to hell. And if you want to ignore his sacrifice and say, that's all right, I'll take care of that myself, you've got problems. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Is he your Lord this morning? Is he your Lord individually? Let's make him the God of our nation again. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Bible says,